church, Christianity, faith, the gospel. Where do we begin? In this series of messages called The Basics, Pastor Chris Chadwick introduces what it means to be a Christian and how that plays out in the local church.
Your Bibles, if you would, today, and turn to Matthew chapter 16, your copy of God's Word, Matthew chapter 16 in your Bibles this morning, Matthew 16. I want to thank you today for coming to Canyon Ridge. Your attendance at our Open House Sunday is amazing, and I'm very, very thankful that you are here today. Many of you, your first time here. Many of our early morning crowd, you got to sleep in. We normally have two services on a Sunday, and so I'm thankful that those of you that normally get up early came to this service today, and we're pumped by that and excited for all the Lord has already done and what He is going to continue to do. I'm going to start today, so you get to be on the initial, you're part of the A-team today. I'm going to start today a series of messages entitled Basics, Solid Truth in a Shifting World. How many of you have noticed in your life that the world seems to change drastically, very, very quickly? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like it just seems like yesterday. Now, I'm old. I'm 52. But it seems like yesterday I was answering the phone that was attached to the wall. And you were really technologically advanced if you had a long cord. I thought we had a long cord at our house, and then I was dating my wife, Debbie. Debbie, where are you? You're around here somewhere. Would you stand? I want everybody to see how beautiful and amazing you are. This December, we'll be married 30 years, and so we're pumped by that. Super thankful for my wife. I thought my house had a long cord. It was about probably 5 foot long. It was long enough to sit at the table and talk on the phone. I went to Debbie's house, and my sister, who works here, was 8 years older than me, so she was out of the house by the time I became a teenager. And Debbie's house had one of those 50-foot extension cords. And I was like, man, life will never get better than this. Good grief. And then, you know, the world just seems to change so, so drastically. I was with somebody recently and they answered their phone on their watch. They're like, oh, excuse me, I got to take that. And I was like, oh my word, you put your phone up to your mouth. It's on your wrist. And they're like, I was with some cops and they were like, chaps, don't you want one of these watches where people can call you anytime? And I don't know about you, but I'm like, no, I don't want a watch where people could ever call me. How many of you can say amen to that? Like, I don't even want the phone that I have. Like somebody said, we're going to take your phone. Like, do me a favor. Fine. That's great. And so the world just seems to change so, so drastically and so, so quickly in every area of our life. I'm here to tell you with great assurance that the Bible provides solid truth in a shifting world. I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, but I can guarantee you this. It's going to be different than it is today. And it's going to be different the next day than it is today. And sometimes the world can be the same, but our world can change. And so we just need to add every once in a while, get back to the basics and understand what God has for us. So today, we're going to jump into that. And I want to talk to you today about this subject, the church. The church. Somebody said one time, not somebody, Marshall McLuhan in 1964, who was a Canadian media scholar and on the university level, he made this phrase, the medium is the message. The medium is the message. And it means simply that the medium in which a message is communicated affects the content of the message itself. Where you're at, what you're doing, what is being said, it affects the content of what is going on. For instance, if you're reading about a foreign battle in a newspaper, it's different than watching it on TV, which is different than being there and seeing it firsthand. All of them communicate a message, but where you're at when you see it, when you hear about it, makes a massive impact into or insofar as what the message really is. This summer in May, Debbie and I had the privilege of going to Normandy. And I was reading and listening to some books about Normandy. There we are. You have to forgive us for being old and not knowing how to take pictures in a straight way. I looked at a lot of them. That's the best one that I had. But we were at Normandy, and we were on Omaha Beach. That's a picture of Omaha Beach right behind. You see the rock in the background. That's right behind where that famous Army combat medic crew, 68 Whiskey, set up their tent to protect them from the German invasion, saved many, many, many amazing lives that were saved because of that. And being in Normandy and listening or reading books, depending on what the medium I was availed to at the time, had a very powerful impact, because now when I read it, I see firsthand the cliff face in my mind. I hear the waves breaking. I see the barbed wire that was set up. I understand from the gun turrets that the Germans had set up, because I've been in there. I've not lived it, but I've been inside and I've experienced it. The medium, how about if I say it this way, affected the message. The medium affected the message. I don't think it would be possible today here at Canyon Ridge to determine why everyone has come to Canyon Ridge today. Probably as diverse as is the number of people in the crowd. But I really believe, and I thought it'd be good if I gave you a bit of an overview on what we believe at Canyon Ridge specifically about the church. Why church? Why is it important? Why do we say it's necessary? Matter of fact, we would even use this phrase that church is essential in the life of every single believer. And we don't say that haphazardly. We don't say that emotionally. We don't say that because we want you to come here rather than go to the beach on a Sunday morning. We believe with all of our heart that the church really is drastically different than any other organization that's on the face of the earth. Matter of fact, we believe it so strongly that theologians call the church not an organization, but a living organism that is supposed to multiply and grow and affect the world in which we live. So on Open House Sunday at Canyon Ridge Baptist Church, I want to talk about the church. And we see in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, and this is going to be various verses of scripture in your Bible, and they'll be on the screen as well if you're not fast at turning in your Bible, but if you are, you can get there. Jesus is at a place called Caesarea Philippi, a beautiful rock outcropping in Israel today, and I hope to one day take you there. It's my favorite site in all of Israel, Caesarea Philippi. And I just love it. Little creek coming out of there, water coming out of there. I've drank from that water. Wonderful, wonderful place. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says to them in verse number 13 and following, essentially this. He says, guys, who do people say that I am? Verse number 13. When you're out with folks in the community, who do they say that Jesus is? And one of the disciples said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and somebody else pipes up. Some say you're Elijah, and somebody else pipes up. And some say you're one of the prophets. All of those were compliments. All of those were kind statements. And Jesus says to the disciples at large, and he says, but who do you say that I am? Verse number 15, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, kind of the spokesman for the group, the guy that gets a lot of hard knocks put against him because he says the wrong thing at the wrong time, but he also says the right thing at the right time, and this is a right time for him to speak. And Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, is what he's saying. You are the Savior of the world. You are the one that's going to come and take away our sin. And Jesus says to Peter in verse number 16, or verse number 17, and Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, listen to this phrase, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We believe this with all our heart, without a doubt. Number one, Jesus started the church. What do you mean by that? When Jesus said to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the pronoun usage changes, and Jesus is essentially pointing not to the gigantic rock at Caesarea Philippi, not at Peter, but he's pointing at himself, and Jesus is saying, Peter, upon this rock, upon Jesus Christ, upon me, we will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not keep Jesus and will not keep the church from impacting the world. Well, why is that? Because the church is made up of people who know Jesus, and people who know Jesus should have a positive Christ-like impact in their community. The people that they live with, the people that they work with, the people that they live around, the people that they work around, the people they go to the gym with, the people they go shopping with. Christians should impact the world in which they live. Why? Because Jesus impacted them. And the gates of hell cannot stop it. And Jesus started the church. The church is not a construct of some dudes that were sitting in a room one day going, how do we control the masses? No, not at all. Not at all. The church is given as a gift from God to man as a means of helping them in doing that which is most important in all of our lives, and that is worshiping and walking with God. The second thing we understand from Scripture, we find in Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, that Jesus sacrificed for the church. Jesus sacrificed for the church. The Bible says in Acts 20, 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Now listen to this phrase, which he hath purchased with his own blood. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for the sin of every one of us in the room, he purchased the church. The church did not come cheaply. The church was not something that was left over. It was not an afterthought. It was absolutely the first thought, and it was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We understand this morning Jesus started the church. We understand this morning that Jesus sacrificed for the church. And we understand third this morning that Jesus set the church's mission in motion. Jesus set the church's mission in motion. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. The Apostle Paul is writing the young pastor Timothy, and he says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Young pastor, this is how you need to behave yourself at church. The house of God, which is the church of the living God. Now notice how Paul refers to it. The pillar and ground of the truth. That last phrase is so essential for us to understand, so important for us to get. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. What do you mean pillar and ground, Pastor? A pillar in that day, as in our day, would hold up the weight. The ground was the foundation on which the totality of the weight was held. In essence, or in other words, this is what Jesus is saying. And he's saying it with great, or this is what Paul is saying to Timothy with great, great clarity, that the church is the foundation on which, and when he uses the phrase the truth, the definite article the is there, talking about all truth in the world, that the church is the foundation on which truth in the world exists. Pillar and ground is the idea of the foundation of the truth. The truth here literally means a true statement, a dependable statement. Now we understand all truth is God's truth. And churches are to be a place where the unchanging truth of God's word is clearly taught every single week. Every week. Matter of fact, it's what we're commanded to preach. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 2, the Bible says to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Some of you came to check out Canyon Ridge today. Let me let you know a little bit about us real quick, and that is that we're going to preach the Bible every single week. We might tell some funny jokes every once in a while. We might share it from a novel perspective. But you're never going to come to Canyon Ridge and hear somebody speak who's just speaking from their own perspective and who fails to open up the Word of God and teach clearly from the Word. No, we're going to preach the Word. Why? Because that's what we're commanded to do. And can I be honest with you? That's what every church is supposed to be doing. Not preaching their opinion, not even preaching their thoughts, but preaching the word, and in so doing, there's a measure of reproof, there's a measure of rebuke and exhortation that affects all of us as we do it with long suffering or with patience and doctrine or Bible teaching. That's what we're commanded to do. And churches are commanded to reach the world. I don't know how many people I talked to today, But I feel like about three quarters of the guests that I met, it's your first time here today, three quarters of the guests that I met, I said, hey, how'd you hear about our church? Oh, I found a flyer in our door. We found a flyer in our door. We found a flyer in our door. I praise God for that. Why? Because that was our whole intent, is that you would find a flyer on your door, because we don't yet know you personally, and we wanted to invite you to come and to be a part of a service where you're going to hear the truth conveyed and opened for you to understand. It's part of our command. It would be silly to assume, when the church has a responsibility to impact and reach the world, it would be silly to assume that one church could impact the world by itself. The truth of the matter is that the command to reach the world that we read about in Mark 16:15, where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that command is to every Bible, preaching, teaching, church on the face of the earth. Every place where the gospel is preached, we are commanded to go into our communities and convey and share the truth of the message of the gospel. And we're commanded to help other people around the world do the same thing. It's part of what our command is. One of the ways that we work here at Canyon Ridge, and probably many churches, one of the ways we work here at Canyon Ridge to reach our community and our world is through our, what we like to call, our mission statement. Something that guides us. Everything that we've done today, everything that we did last week, and everything that we'll do 3 weeks from now and every week in between is really dictated by our mission statement. And I thought it'd be appropriate in the next 10 minutes to just kind of share with you what that is and what that means and how that should impact all of our lives. At Canyon Ridge, here's our mission statement. We exist to engage people in a joyful church family while encouraging a passionate love for God and equipping them to impact San Diego and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why we exist. We exist to engage people in a joyful church family. The word engage means to provide opportunity for. We want you to have an opportunity to be a part of a joyful church family. What do you mean by joyful, Pastor? Well, I mean essentially this. Joy is closely related to gladness and happiness, although it's more of a state of being than of an emotion. It's a result of a choice, one of the fruits of the Spirit. Having joy is to be a part of the experience of being a Christian for every single one of us. What do I mean by joy? What do I mean by everyone in this room should be engaged in a joyful church family? Number one, when you come to church at Canyon Ridge, we want it to be fun. Normally, I have better jokes than I do today. I don't have any good jokes today. I don't know why that is. Matter of fact, if I was a comedian, I'd probably get fired or booed off the stage, which has happened before. But we want to engage you in a joyful church family. But our joy doesn't come from comedy. Our joy comes from something substantially deeper than that, and that is a personal, meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. That when all the world is cratering and all the world is falling apart and everything in the world seems to be turned upside down, I still have joy, not because of my circumstances, but because of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And when I walk in this room or on this property or get together with God's people off-site, that I'm still having a great time, not because things are amazing, not because health is amazing, not because every relationship is amazing, but because Jesus is amazing and He has saved my soul from an eternity in hell, and I'm engaged in that every single time I attend Canyon Ridge Baptist Church, and I'm reminded of that every single time I come to Canyon Ridge Baptist Church. Now, some churches are boring. I don't have a problem with that. Some churches are hard to be a part of. Like, you go, you sit down, and you're like, oh, my word, when is this going to end? You say, I've never felt that way. Praise God for you. You'll love it here. You'll love it here. But here's the reality. Some people really do like that. That's just not who we are. Why? Because that's not who I am. The next pastor at Canyon Ridge, he'll probably be boring. He probably will. No, he probably won't be. I don't know. We'll see what God does. But we want to engage you in a joyful church family. It's essential to who I am as an individual. It's essential to what I feel God's given Debbie and I this mission 22 years ago when we moved from Amarillo, Texas, and moved to San Diego, California to start Canyon Ridge Baptist Church in the Kearny Mesa Rec Center, a mile and a quarter down the road. We have every single desire that every time we meet together, it would be an expression of the joy of the Lord brought about by the work of Jesus Christ in our hearts. So we exist to engage people in a joyful church family while encouraging a passionate love for God. Encouraging a passionate love for God. Every time you walk on this campus or through this door or have a conversation with someone, our desire is that you would be encouraged to deepen your relationship with God. The word passion just means to be enthusiastic for, to have a strong feeling for. You'd be enthusiastic to learn more about God. Here's the reality. Not everybody that's here today is a Christian. I want you to walk away from here today. You're about to hear how to become a Christian. But I want you to walk away from here today going, man, that guy really is passionate about Jesus Christ. And that church really is passionate. When they sing about Jesus saves, they try to live Jesus saves. It's who they are and it's what they do. We want to encourage you to develop a passionate love for God. And we bring up that slide again, and we want to equip you to impact San Diego and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do you mean by that, Pastor? We want to train you. The big Bible word is disciple you. We want to disciple you to impact the people that you work with to come to Christ, the people that you live near, the people that you live in the same house with to have a deeper love for Christ, and people all over the world to have a deeper love for Christ. Some of you are going to move from here, and you might move to all parts of the world. We want you to have been equipped at Canyon Ridge that when you land on a foreign soil somewhere, that you know how to share the gospel and you know how to disciple people and you know how to help them in their love for Jesus Christ. People say, I wish I knew something about a church. This is really who we are. We want to engage people in a joyful church family. We want to encourage a passionate love for God. And we want to equip you, if you're a part of Canyon Ridge, to impact the world and San Diego with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And really, that all starts with having a personal relationship with God. You having a personal relationship with God. This is foreign to so many people. I remember one time I was on a flight and I was talking to the guy next to me. Used to, this is one of the way the world has changed drastically. 15 years ago, when you got on a plane, some of you aren't old enough to remember this, but when you got on a plane, you actually talked to people. Like you sat down and you talked to people. And how many of you remember that? Like your first thought was, I hope I don't get stuck next to a weirdo. Why? Because you're going to get stuck talking to them. Now you get on a plane, and if they don't already have headphones in, you're kind of surprised. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, that's, sometimes when I don't want to talk to people, normally when I travel with Debbie, and we both like aisle seats, so I always get an aisle seat. And more than a few times, I'm like, honey, they didn't have any aisle seats. Sorry, you're stuck in the middle. She's like, why is it always the middle with me? I can't figure it out either. I don't know. Why do I do that? Because there's going to be somebody in the window seat. And Debbie is really good at talking to them, so I don't have to. And she's great at sharing the gospel, and so I don't have to. And so she does a great job, and she'll talk to me. But the other day she came home. She was speaking at a ladies' conference in Kansas, and northeast Kansas. And she came home after speaking. She goes, hey, would you rub my neck? I was like, sure. What's wrong with your neck? She goes, I don't know. I sat on a plane like this talking to a lady for 4 hours. And I said, did you think of, turning your whole body? She goes, that would have been a good idea. And so But back in the day, you used to do that. And I was used to talk to people. Well, I was talking to this guy several years ago on a plane. And I, you know, we just started talking about, hey, where are you from? What do you do? That type of stuff. And we're talking back and forth. And he said, what do you do? And I said, oh, and I say this with the greatest of confidence and joy. I said, oh, I'm the pastor at Canyon Ridge Baptist Church in San Diego. And he goes, you're a pastor? Yeah, I'm a pastor. He goes, I've always wanted to talk to somebody like you. And I looked at him and I'm like, I've always wanted to talk to somebody like you. He goes, I haven't told you what I did. I'm like, no, you're the first person excited to talk to me. It's never happened before in my entire life. So we started talking, and he was telling me what he did. He was in administration at a university here in California, very, very prestigious university. If I mentioned it, you'd know it. And we were talking back and forth and having a good conversation. And then I started talking about being a pastor. And he's like, what's the most important part of your job? Yes, now I'm going to talk about what's the most important part of my job. And I said, you know, here's the most important part of my job. And what's called John Doe. I said, John, the most important part of my job is letting the whole world know the most important message in the entire Bible. He goes, what's that? I said, well, have you ever read your Bible? A Bible? He goes, I've read like a little bit of it. I said, do you own a Bible? He goes, I think I do somewhere, but I wouldn't know where it is. I said, here's the most important message in all the world from the Bible. Are you ready for it? He goes, I'm ready for it. Here it is. Number one, you're a sinner. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody is a sinner. Everybody on this plane is a sinner. Now, I was much younger back then. 15 years ago, 16 years ago, I was much younger back then. And I said, John, let me ask you this question. If you were to die right now, do you know for sure heaven would be your home? I have since learned that's not the best question to ask on a plane. If you're going to try that, just be prepared for a very bizarre look. And so I said that to John, and he goes, after we laughed a little bit, I said, no, I'm being serious. And we had a great conversation because I said, everything with God starts with having a personal relationship with him by understanding first and foremost that you are a sinner. What does that mean? It means you violated God's law, just like it meant for me. You're a sinner, and you need a Savior. And the Bible says that the Savior had to be perfect and sinless and spotless, never made a mistake, never did anything wrong, was always 100% right before God. And John, just like with exuberance in his heart, goes, Chris, nobody could do that but God. And I said, man, you are so right. You're ready to be a Baptist. He goes, what do you mean? I said, only Jesus can do that. And I went on to explain to him that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, left heaven and came to earth and died for his sin and died for the sin of all mankind. And the Bible says that whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anybody. You see, there's got to be more to it than that. Okay, there is this. Number one, you have to agree with God that you've sinned against him and turn from your sin. What does turn from your sin mean? It means stop trusting in your own way to heaven and turn and trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Put your faith and trust in Christ alone. And if you'll turn from trusting in your own way to heaven to trusting Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, the Bible promises that Jesus Christ will give you eternal life. And John looked at me and he said, Chris, I got a lot to think about. And I looked at him and I said, you do. But John, here's the deal. You can accept Christ as your Savior right here and right now. I would say the same thing to you. You can accept Christ as your Savior right here and right now. Is that because it's a Baptist church? No, it's not. Is that because it's a Sunday morning in a building? No, it's not. The message of the gospel will go anywhere in the world, anytime, any place. Jesus is always available. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you've done. What matters is you putting faith and trust in Christ alone. And he will change where you're going. because of your faith and trust in him. And John said, I got a lot to think about. I don't know what happened to John. We disembarked after 4.5 hours of talking, and he went his way and I went mine. And this was back kind of pre-cell phone era when you didn't give numbers to just anybody. And he went his way and I went mine. I've prayed for him so many times over the years. But there's a lesson to be learned for everyone in the room this morning, and that's this, that there are many people here today, many people here today who want to accept Christ as their Savior. They're just going to do it later. I'll do it next week. I'll do it when I'm by myself. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it after I call my grandma because she's a Bible person. And I'm going to do it after I talk to my husband or my wife or after I get that promotion. Listen, Satan doesn't mind you telling yourself that you're going to become a Christian as long as you'll do it later. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. Right here, right now is the time for you, if you don't know Christ, to come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. What is Canyon Ridge Baptist Church? It's a church that believes Jesus started the church. It's a church that believes Jesus sacrificed for the church. And we believe that Jesus gave us our mission. And our mission is to let the whole world know that Jesus loves sinners and will give anyone eternal life who puts their faith and trust in him, repenting of their sin, turning from their sin, and turning to Jesus and accepting him alone as their Savior. I wonder, have you accepted him as your Savior today? Do you know Christ today? If you were to die today, would heaven be your home? Glad we're not in an airplane. Do you know Christ today? If you don't, you can, by understanding that you're a sinner and asking Jesus Christ alone to come into your heart and to save you from your sin. Would you pray with me this morning?
Thank you for listening. Hear more messages anytime at canyonridgebaptist.com. If you're in the San Diego area, please join us for a service. We meet on Sundays at 8:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 5 o'clock p.m. We look forward to seeing you.